Thank you so much. And good afternoon, everyone. My name is Avi Gilbert, and thank you so much for joining me today. I know you've been hearing a lot about Fibonacci and Elliott Wave, but I'm going to take you through a little bit of a different path today, in that I'm going to show you some of the theoretical reasons as to why we utilize Elliott Wave and when we utilize Elliott Wave, as opposed to most people utilizing fundamentals. And once we go through that, then I will show you the basics, of course, of Elliott Wave and our Elliott Wave, our Fibonacci pinball structure in a very basic fashion. And then I'm going to show you some of the larger degree perspective we have about the S&P 500 right now. I'll show you a 100 plus year chart on the S&P 500. We'll drill down to a monthly chart. And then we'll look at the daily chart, and we'll give you some ideas as to where we believe we are right now in the bigger picture. And I'm going to try to leave some time at the end for some questions. So without further ado, let's get into this. And I just want to let you know we're going to start this, and I want you to spend some time thinking. You don't have to take any notes right now. I just want you to focus and think about some of the things we're going to discuss. So I want to start this by just taking you back in time a little. Now, I've been personally graced to be an inhabitant of this wonderful planet for about a little over a century now, and I've seen quite a bit in my time. Now, in 1970, the year that I was born, the S&P was actually sitting just below 100. And you can check the charts later, but that is accurate. And I remember how much simpler life. For those of you that weren't alive then, we used to watch television with only a handful of channels, and the television was in black and white. And I'll tell you, I remember fondly sitting on the floor with my sister in our living room in New York City and watching I Love Lucy reruns on a black and white television. I remember watching football on the weekend with my father and how he'd yell at the television when the Jets would turn the ball over. But the one thing that truly sticks out in my mind is that I remember how one of my older relatives would call the television stupid box. I often wonder, what he would think of the internet and social media today. But as technology progressed, I remember how excited I got when we got our first color television. Now, I know color televisions then were considered a real luxury, especially being the son of a New York City cab driver. Now, the further we moved away from seeing the world on our television in black and white, oddly enough, the more individuals within our society began to see the real world in black and white. The more technology allowed us to see the pictures on the television increasingly clear and vivid color, the more our friends and neighbors became polarized in seeing the world in black and white. And I'm not just speaking of politics. We see it in the stock market almost daily. My friends, the world has a lot of gray as well as many other colors. If we're willing to open our eyes and minds, unfortunately, it seems we're too willing to hand over our ability to think and our ability to reason to the stupid box. So let's spend some time this afternoon thinking intelligently about our stock market. Most people that are listening to me today are quite sure that economic news or stock earnings are what drives the stock market. And the reason you believe it so strongly is because this is what you've been told for years by the stupid box. So I apologize in advance if I'm going to push you to think beyond your black and white perceptions about the stock market, which many of you have gleaned from that stupid box. Let me give you a quick example about that, which I'm speaking. Let's talk about the last 10 months in the stock market. If you remember, as we were coming into the October 13th CPI announcement last year, everyone was terribly concerned about a worse than expected report. In fact, all the pundits were suggesting that a bad report would take the market down 5% or more. Well, if you remember, we certainly did get a worse than expected report, but the market actually struck a bottom that morning and rallied over 6% off that low alone on that same day, which kicked off a 20% rally over the coming months. And this took most market participants by complete surprise. Now, as we rallied off that low to the 4,100 region, the market began a pullback in the month of December. Do you remember what triggered that pullback? Well, it was a better than expected PPI report. So the market bottomed at a worse than expected inflation and topped at a better than expected. And without a deeper understanding of how the market works, I'm sure this confused you if you were watching it in real time. But I will tell you that my clients were quite prepared for both the bottom in October and the pullback in December. And now the market is continuing to rally against all fundamental reasons as why it should. And many have not only been confused, but they have missed this 30% rally. So let's now move from economics and consider how earnings affects price movement. While everyone thinks that the market makes sense when a stock price rises on good earnings or when it drops on a bad earnings report, let's try to understand what happens when a stock declines on good news. So when blowout earnings about a company are announced, yet the stock immediately begins to decline, the common theme we hear on the stupid box is that earnings news was already priced into the stock price, right? That's what everybody says. And almost every person that listens to these reports nods and cheapest acceptance of this common theory. Now, as Nobel Award-winning economist Daniel Kahneman noted, our minds are not prone to doubt. And the confirmatory bias within our minds favors uncritical acceptance of suggestions and exaggeration. But have any of you actually considered what you have to believe in order to accept this priced-in premise? If you believe that blowout earnings were already priced in when a stock declines after those earnings are announced, then you must believe that the market is omniscient or clairvoyant. It means that the market knew what the earnings would be before they were announced and pushed the stock price up with the expectation of blowout earnings. So the logical question then is, why are analysts so surprised by a blowout earnings if it was priced in and already expected by the market? Didn't the market already tell them based upon its pricing that the earnings would be a blowout? Do the analysts not understand the market? Are you seeing the circular reasoning behind this price-in perspective? I hope so. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe the price-in premise, as well as much of what we are told by the stupid box, is based upon pure horsemanship. I do not believe investors or the market are omniscient. So let's be honest. The price-in premise is simply another way for analysts to say, we have no clue why the market declined on good earnings, because they won't admit their limitation. Now, let me ask you the inverse question. When stocks bottomed in March of 2009 or in March 2020 and began two of the strongest rallies in history, was that due to earnings being priced in? Now, I know many of you thinking that it was due to the Fed, but I'll get to that in a few minutes. If you're being honest with yourself, then you know the answer to this question is that earnings did not cause the market to rise off the March 2009 or March 2020 lows. In fact, the stocks bottomed at some of the worst earning reports of their time. And if you also remember, we were seeing record unemployment numbers and economic shutdowns all over the country in March of 2020, just as the market began one of the strongest rallies in history. And if you look at any major bottom in the market throughout March, you will see the exact same fact. The earnings and economic readings at the time were near the lowest levels when the market reversed and began to rally strongly. You will also notice that earnings significantly lag stock price off those market bottoms. In fact, if you really look honestly at market history, you'll see that the stock price is often a leading indicator for earnings, as the stock price always begins to rally well before earnings begin to turn. Now, while you may think that it is just me that questions the reasoning presented by the stupid box, why don't we ask insiders of some of those public companies? This comment by one of my clients, who was a CFO of several publicly traded companies, mirrors many similar comments I hear from other CFOs of large corporations that are clients of mine. Having worked for many listed companies and regarded as an insider with access to company confidential information, I have sometimes struggled to understand the correlation business results and the share price. If we're being honest with ourselves, folks, then we must begin to realize that earnings follow the stock price and do not lead it. Now, for those of you that believe it is the Fed that causes the market to rally on bad news off major lows, I have bad news for you. While there are times where the Fed seems to be controlling the market, there are many times where it is clear the Fed has no such control. Yet most market participants believe in an all-powerful Fed, just as everyone else does, because of the stupid box. And they simply stick their heads in the sand during the times when the Fed is clearly not in control, as the market crashes despite the Fed's attempts at stemming the tide, as we saw in 2008 and 2020. As Robert Prechter noted in his seminal book, which I strongly suggest to every single person listening to my voice, The Socionomic Theory of Finance, this is what he said. Observer's job, as they see it, is simply to identify which external events cause whatever price changes occur. When news seems to coincide sensibly with market news, they presume a causal relationship. When news doesn't fit, they attempt to devise a cause and effect structure to make it fit. When they cannot even devise a plausible way to twist the news to justify market action, they chalk up the market moves to psychology, which means that despite a plethora of news and numerous inventive ways to interpret it, their imaginations aren't prodigious enough to concoct a credible causal story. Most of the time, it's easy for observers to believe in news causality. Financial markets fluctuate constantly, and news comes out constantly. And sometimes the two elements coincide well enough to reinforce commentators' mental bias towards mechanical cause and effect. When news and the market fail to coincide, they shrug and disregard the inconsistency. Those operating under the mechanics paradigm in finance never seem to care, to see or care that these glaring anomalies. So if it's not earnings, economic news, or the Fed, which are the invisible hands that direct the market, what does direct the market? Well, the answer is the collective us. Back in the 1930s, a gentleman named Ralph Nelson Ellis discovered that the movements in the market are really a repeating fractal of overall societal sentiment, which is governed by the natural laws of the universe as represented through Fibonacci mathematics. As Elliot noted, very extensive research in connection with human activities indicates that practically all developments which result from our social economic processes follow a law that causes them to repeat themselves in similar and constantly recurring series of waves or impulses of definite number and pattern. Elliot went on to further state the causes of these cyclical changes clearly to have their origin in the immutable natural law that governs all things, including the various moods of human behavior. Causes, therefore, tend to become relatively unimportant in the long-term progress of the cycle. This fundamental law cannot be subverted or set aside by statutes or restriction. Current news and political developments are of only incidental importance, soon forgotten. Their presumed influence on market trends is not as weighty as is commonly believed. Now, I want to tell you about a market prognostication made by Elliot back in the 1940s. And for those of you that haven't realized yet, yes, I am a market historian. Not only do I love history itself, but I love to eat up market history. So let's put ourselves back in that period of time, back to the 1940s. World War II was raging all around us as the U.S. was just entering the war at the end of 1941. And the next 4 years saw some of the most horrendous fighting in world history. It truly was a period of ultimate negativity around the entire world. Yet Eliot, at that time, made the following prognostication. 1941 should mark the final correction of the 13-year pattern of defeatism. This termination will also mark the beginning of a new supercycle wave 5, comparable in many respects with the long advance from 1857 to 1929. Supercycle 5 is not expected to culminate until about 2012. For those that do not understand this, Elliot was forecasting a 70-plus year bull market while World War II was raging all around him. This has to be the best stock market prognostication in history, bar none. Now, what did Elliot see that allowed him to make such a boldly accurate prediction? Well, he recognized that the stock market was driven by waves of public sentiment, and that those waves of sentiment are fractally patterned. Therefore, as the market was striking a bearish extreme, it was time for the market to turn the opposite direction. Now, in fact, many recent studies, scientific studies, have been conducted since Eliot's time, which supports Eliot's theories from almost 100 years ago. Today, many mainstream market participants have begun to understand the market similar to Eliot's perspective. But rather than bore you with the many studies that have been formed over the last 30 years that support market psychology as a strong driver of market direction, let me attempt to explain how the causality chain works in real world based upon market psychology. I don't think it would come as a surprise to any of you when I repeat something that is relatively of common knowledge, and that is a market tops on euphoria and it bottoms on pessimism. Note that this phrase mentions nothing about earnings, economic news, or the Fed. Yet the simplicity of this statement is more accurate than most even realize. So let's explore it a bit. I think many recognize when investors are all in the market, there is no one left to buy. Therefore, there's only one direction the market can go. This is how major tops are created. But I think exploring the psychology of bottoming is much more instructive for our purpose. So let's look at a negative market trend. And during a negative market trend, clearly the market declines and the news seems to get worse and worse. But once the negative sentiment has run its course after reaching an extreme, everyone that has wanted to sell has done so. Alan Greenspan once noted, and I quote, "It's only when the markets are perceived to have exhausted themselves on the downside that they turn." So once we reach a negative extreme in sentiment, it's time for sentiment to change direction. The main reason is simply that there is no more room for negative sentiment, and the general public then begins to become subconsciously turned towards optimism. You see, once you hit a wall, it becomes clear that it's now time to look in the opposite direction. Now, many of you will question how sentiment simply turns on its own at extremes, and I'll explain to you that many recent scientific studies have been published to explain how it occurs naturally within the limbic systems within our brains. Now, when people begin to subconsciously turn towards optimism about their future, again, which is subconscious and not a conscious, a reaction, and it's actually a reaction within their limbic system, there again,
sorry to interrupt, but are you intending to show a chart right now?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, not yet. I'll be getting to the charts at the end.
Oh, okay.
So when people turn towards optimism again, they're again willing to take risks. Now consider for a moment what the most immediate way the public can act on this return to optimism. The easiest and most immediate way is to buy stocks. This, my friends, is the main reason why we see the stock market lead in the opposite direction before the economy and fundamentals have turned. Historically, we also know that the stock market is a leading indicator for the economy, as the market has always turned well before the economy does. This is why Elliott, whose work led to Elliott Wave Theory, believed that the stock market is the best barometer of public sentiment. But let's explore what the same turn to optimism does to fundamentals and the economics of the market. When the general public subconsciously turns towards optimism, this is the point at which they are willing to take on more risk. Whereas investors immediately place money to work in the stock market, thereby having an immediate effect upon stock prices, business owners and entrepreneurs seek loans to build or expand a business, and those take time to secure. They then put the newly acquired funds to work in their businesses by hiring more people or buying additional equipment, and this takes more time. With this new capacity, they are then able to provide more goods and services to the public, and ultimately, profits and earnings begin to grow after more times. When the news of such improved earnings finally hits the market, most market participants have already seen the stock of the market move up strongly because investors effectuated their positive sentiment by buying stocks well before evidence of positive fundamentals is evident within the market. This is why so many believe that the stock prices present a discounted valuation of future earnings. Clearly, there is a significant lag between a positive turn in public sentiment and the resulting positive change in the underlying fundamentals of a stock or the economy, especially relative to the most immediate stock buying activity that comes from the same causative underlying sentiment change. This is why I claim that market fundamentals and economics are lagging ill indicators relative to market sentiment. This lag is a much more plausible reason as to why the stock market is a leading indicator, as opposed to some form of investor omission. This also provides a plausible reason as to why earnings lag stock prices, as earnings are the last segment in the chain of a business cycle growth. It is why those analysts who attempt to predict stock prices based on earnings fail so miserably at market turns. By the time earnings are affected by a change in social mood, the social mood has already been negative for some time. And this is why economists fail as well. The social mood has shifted well before they see evidence in their indicators. In fact, even though the market rallied strongly off the March 2020 lows, economists had us classified as being in a recession until the market had almost doubled off those lows. That means the valuation of the stock market doubled before economists viewed us as having come out of recession. And this was not the first time we've seen such failure. After the analyst community failed to foresee the market swoon off the 2000 market top on October 6, 2002, Paul Samuelson, a co-founder of Modern Economic Theory, admitted, "We are at a loss for words. If nothing else, this baffling economy has defeated the vocabulary of economics." As an aside, it's interesting to note that Samuelson's admission came within several days before the market bottomed and began a multi-year rally into 2007. His exasperated admission, wherein he effectively threw his hands up in the air in submission, marked a multi-year bottom at an extreme and negative market sentiment. He was driven by market sentiment and likely did not even realize it. But the failures of 2000 have not stood alone. There were many admissions of failure after the analyst community's inability to also recognize the impending market meltdown, which began in 2007. In February of 2009, Paul Volcker, the former Fed chairman, said regarding the economy, "It's broken down in the face of almost all expectations and predictions. Even the experts don't know what's going on." Then in May of 2009, the Wharton Business School noted regarding the analyst community that it's not just that they missed it, they positively denied that it would happen. And finally, what will blow your mind is that in January of 2010, Eugene Fama, the father of the efficient market hypothesis, told the New Yorker, "I'd love to know more about what causes business cycles. I used to do macroeconomics, but I gave up long ago. Economics is not very good at explaining swings in economic activity. We don't know what causes recessions. We've never known." Please feel free to read that again. The father of EMH came out and told us that it does not work, and he gave it up long ago. Yet, it is still taught as the basis of economic theory in most colleges today. So my friends, I'm here to strongly suggest that you tune out this. I'm here to also strongly suggest that you focus more on market sentiment than you do on many of these lagging indicators. And lastly, as Kahneman warned, do not simply accept what you hear and read as the absolute truth on any matter. If you intend on listening to or reading someone's analysis, please do your own independent and intellectually honest assessment while you pass it through a prism of logic and truth. So allow me now to show you how we test price action for the highest probability paths we want to find in the market. So again, back in the 1930s, I'm going to go to our Elliott Wave analysis. An accountant named Ralph Nelson Elliott identified behavioral patterns within the stock market, which represented the larger collective behavioral patterns of society en masse. Elliott understood that financial markets provide us with a representation of overall mood or psychology of the masses. And he also understood that markets are fractal in nature. That means they're variably self-similar at different degrees of trend. And I'll show you what that means in a minute. And in 1940, Elliott publicly tied the movements of human behavior to the natural law represented in mathematics. Now, most specifically, Elliott theorized that public sentiment and mass psychology move in five waves within a primary trend and three waves within a counter trend. Once a five-wave move in public sentiment is completed, then it's time for the subconscious sentiment of the public to shift in the opposite direction. And it's simply the natural cycle within the human psyche and not the operative effect of some form of news. Now, while some may question how sentiment turns on its own at extreme, again, I'll simply say that there have been many studies that have been published over the last 30 years, which explains how it naturally occurs within the limbic system in our brain. Now, when I say that the market is fractal in nature, in other words, variably self-similar at different degrees of trend, what I mean is that each five-wave structure within the primary trend can be broken down further into another five-wave structure. So if you look at the chart, you'll see that waves 1, 3, and 5 each break down into five wave structures themselves, whereas the corrective waves of 2 and 4 break down into 3 wave structures. And when you continue to move down into the lower degree, you will see the same relation. Now, on this chart alone, I'm showing for Roman numeral wave 3, I've highlighted how you can see wave 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But again, in each of the primary moves within the trend, each of waves 1, 3, and 5, each of those waves also break down into 5 wave structure. Now, one of the things that we have added to the Elliott wave lexicon or the Elliott wave structure is we have identified, well, I identified many moons ago, probably almost 20 years ago by now, that within the structure, and we all tracked, you know, what different degrees third waves hit and fourth waves hit and fifth waves hit. One of the things that I've noticed that is not a constant, but it is extraordinarily common, is how subwave structures develop within the larger degree 5-wave structure. Once you have waves 1 and 2, and you can look at Roman numeral waves 1 and 2 on this chart, once they're in place, waves 3, 4, and 5 really have a very, very strong way to continue in the path. Now, I'm showing you one way here, but there's this way, and there's also one other way that use slightly different extensions, and I'll explain it to you. I'm not going to show you, but I'll explain it to you here. Once waves 1 and 2 are in place, wave 1 of wave 3 will often target the 0.382 to 0.618 extension of Roman numeral waves 1 and 2. In this example, I'm showing you that it hits the 382 extension of waves, Roman numeral waves 1 and 2. After you get a pullback after that wave 1, wave 3 of 3 often targets the 1.0 extension of Roman numeral 1 and 2, or it oftentimes will also extend to the 1.236 extension of waves 1 and 2. I'm not showing that on here. But when wave 3 of 3 extends to the 1.0 extension, we see wave 4 of 3 coming back to the 618 extension, and then continuing on to the 1382 extension to complete all of Roman numeral wave 3. In the more extended examples, wave 3 of 3 will hit the 1236 extension of waves, Roman numeral waves 1 and 2, and then wave 4 of 3 will often pull back to 764 extensions, or a slight modification from this. And when that occurs, wave 5 of Roman numeral 3 will usually take us to the 1.618 extension. Sometimes they'll even push to the 176. Once wave 3 is done, of course, you get a wave 4 pullback. And that wave 4 pullback usually takes you to about a 382 tracement of wave 3. That usually will be to the 0.764 to the 1.0 extension of Roman numeral waves 1 and 2. And then you finish off with a fifth wave rally to complete the 5-wave structure, usually to the 1.74 extension of Roman numeral waves 1 and 2, or you'll see a much larger move to 2.0 extension, depending on how high wave 3 has taken. Now, this is the general structure that we've identified throughout the market. Does it happen all the time? No. But I will tell you that this happens a significant amount of time, that this is what we utilize to guide us in our Elliott wave analysis. Now, why do we use it to guide us for our Elliott wave analysis? Because not only does it give us great opportunities for projection and expectations to how the market's going to this 5-wave, it gives us very early warning signs as to when a 5-wave structure is not going to, and that we're actually only getting a corrective rally rather than a full impulse 5-wave structure. For example, let's say waves 1 and 2 of Roman numerals are already in place. So we're expecting a 5-wave structure. Well, wave 1 completes, you get a wave pullback, and then you get the next wave taking you to the 1.0 extension. If the next pullback breaks down below the 618 extension, the great majority of the time, that is indication that the market is not going to follow through waves 4 and 5, and that this rally was a purely corrective rally, and we're going to be heading down to lower low. So not only does the structure of the Fibonacci pinball give us great opportunity and estimations as to where we're going to be moving within the structure, it gives us tremendous early warning that a five wave structure is not going to complete and the market's going to reverse. It also gives us great opportunities to identify for those that trade options, where are the good places to exit those options? Because anybody that holds an option during a fourth wave pullback or even a second wave pullback is often going to be in trouble with some significant decay. So anybody that trades options, this structure is of utmost importance. You know when to take profits and when to potentially restrike on those options trades for the next move higher. So while we have the general guidance of the five waves, Elliott wave structure, I'm going to go a little bit more. I'm sorry, I actually had the 618 extensions also. As you could see, this is what I meant before. Waves Roman numeral 1 and 2 are in place. Wave 1 of 3 will hit the 618 extension of Roman numeral 1, 2. You'll get your wave 2 pullback. Wave 3 of 3 takes you to the 1236. You come back to the 764, and then you go up to the 1618. Come back to the 1.0 and up to the 2. I'm telling you, we see this structure so often. Again, does it happen all the time? No. Oftentimes, when it doesn't happen, it's because you're getting some ridiculous type of extension to the upside. But the great majority of the time, for a lot of the things we track, follow this structure more so than you would ever believe. I've been doing this for many decades, and I still am amazed at how markets turn at these levels so often. I'm telling you, after decades, I'm still amazed. So now I'm going to take you to a very long-term chart of the S&P 500. And we've recreated this going back, as you can see, for well over 100. And we have taken it apart so we can glean a much better understanding of where the market is in the much larger degree trend. So we can know when should we get much more protective, and when should we get much more aggressive? Clearly, as you can see right now, we're at a point where, you know, it's wise in the bigger picture to be looking at this from a much more protective standpoint. Let me go through the chart with so you can glean what I'm seeing, and then we'll go into a monthly chart where we'll hone in on where we are today. If you notice, up into the 1928-29 timeframe, the market had a nice rally, which we considered the top of Roman numeral wave 1. And you could see that, you know, on the towards the left side of the chart. And then the 1929 crash kicked off what we view as wave 2. Now, since that time, we had the initial rally off that wave 2 and then the pullback thereafter. That pullback into 1941 was when Elliott made his most remarkable market prognostic, absolutely remarkable prognostic. Now, he expected that we would finish this wave by 2012. You know, okay, the wave's going on a little longer than he expected. But to be able to have called this type of bull market and expect a 70 plus year bull market based upon his structure, to me, I have never seen, and I've done market analysis, and I have learned market history, and I've learned so many different methodologies out there. I've never seen anything that can provide you market context like Elliott wave analysis, period, bar none. Now, once we had that set up to begin that major rally, as you could see, wave two is what bottomed after the before the Great Depression. What kicked off the Great Depression was the 29 crash. When the 29 crash ceased and we began to rally again, the bottom of that crash was wave two. So what do we know? Well, after you have a 1-2, you're looking for your large degree wave three. The top of the chart is where we're now topping out in our large degree wave three. Yes, that means that once we complete this wave three, we will likely begin a wave four that is of the same wave degree as the 29 crash, with which ushered in the Great Depression. There is a lot to unpack in that. For those that know the history, and again, learn your market history of what occurred during the Great Depression with markets, banks, and so on and so forth, precious metals, it is very important for you to learn the history so you can properly prepare. But our expectation, and by the way, for those that have that know me or that have followed me at any point during my career, You know, I am not a perma bear, nor am I a perma bull. As my clients like to say, I'm perma profit. I just want to be on the correct side of the trend. I don't care which way the market is going. So for me, I'm just looking at the market with as much of an objective eye as possible. And what the market is telling me objectively is that we are topping in a major, major market topping structure, which literally began after the 29 market crash. And my expectation is we probably will enter into a very long and protracted fourth wave correction. Why do I think it will be long and protracted if the 29 market crash, which is the same wave degree type as the one I'm expecting, why do I think it's going to be much longer? Well, Eliot taught us a theory called the theory of alternation. And he basically what the theory said, if the second wave correction is one way, the fourth wave will probably be very different. The second wave, as you could see, was just a straight down, fast correction, relatively. It only took a couple of years. That was a relatively fast correction. And when you're talking about this time, this type of time frame. And if wave two was straight down and fast, our expectation, reasonably based upon the theory of alternation, is that wave four is going to take a very long, dragged out time. So, minimally, my expectation is that wave four of this degree will likely take us minimally 13 years, but could take as long as a Fibonacci 21 years. Now, let me show you my monthly chart based. As you could see, now, by the way, I also want to show you, let me go back a second. If you could look in here, I don't know if you guys can see my cursor around this region right here. From 2000 to 2009, if you look very carefully, you could see market was basically sideways. I mean, the 2000 crash was, a lot of people got hurt in that. And again, the 2008 crash, a lot of people got hurt in that. But when you take a step back and you look at it, you could see all that was from 2000 to 2009 was basically a sideways market in the larger degree time frame. And that sideways move was actually the, remember I said before, markets are fractal in nature, and which means they are variably self-similar at all different degrees of trend, which means each of waves one, three, and five are comprised of five-wave structures, and so on and so forth. So we are now tracking a five-wave structure to complete this larger degree wave three. The fourth wave of that five-wave structure was that 2000 to 2009 sideways time frame. And you could see it here. All the way on the left side of the chart, you see the Roman numeral three, A, B, C for the, you had the A for the 2000 market crash. Then you had the B wave rally into 2007. And then we had the financial market crisis that bottomed in 2009. That was one big sideways market wave four correction. Therefore, we are now coming to the end of wave five off of that wave four. The only question we have now is wave five completed, or are we going to try and push higher towards the 5,000 plus we complete wave five? Now, many, many years ago, my estimation was I thought we would get over 5,000 before this fifth wave was going to complete. Because of the depth of the pullback off the 2021 high, I am uncertain as to whether or not we're going to get there. So the reason you see my primary analysis as the wave five has topped is purely for risk management purposes. And that is what I tell all my clients. We are very, very, we have been and are very, very cautious in the manner in which we have been trading this rally to the upside, because I'm not wholly certain we're going to get to that 5,000. And at each point, we take risk management very seriously through this structure. So let me show you where I think we are now on. This is where we are in the daily. And personally, that yellow count is what I would much prefer us seeing over the coming years, over the coming year or two. And that would complete that larger degree structure up to the 5,000 plus region that I ideally wanted to see. Now, like I said, truth be told, I'm taking this one step at a time. Each and every step of the way, I'm taking this one step at a time. When we bottomed in October of 2022, My expectation was we would rally off that low towards the 4,100 plus region, get a pullback to maybe 3,800, 3,900, and then from there rally to 4,300 plus. Once we started getting up towards the 4,400, 4,425 region, I started getting very cautious. And I even advised people, look, we're going to get a pullback no matter where we top here, even if we're going to go up towards much higher levels. It's reasonable to take some money off the table. And during a pullback, you can always get back in, assuming the market is going to play out in a corrective fashion. Thus far, the market is playing out in a relatively corrective fashion. Can we get one more loop down in the near term that still takes us down to 4,270 or so before we head up to 4,800? Sure. I'm not going to get into the very micro. I want to leave some time for questions. But overall, my expectation is that I believe we could be heading up to 4,800 in the as we look out towards the end of this year into next year. The question then becomes, do we top out at 4,800 and make a double top? Or do we get another corrective pullback, as you could see, my yellow wave four? And then that sets us up for the rally up towards 5,000 plus. Now, if you can make it out, what I'm looking at is 4,800 to about 4,900 on the next rally, a pullback to just around the 4,400 region, and then a final rally up to 5,000 plus. That would be how I would see us potentially completing this long-term structure off the 29 from when from I think 1931 is when that completed. And that's going to complete, like I said, a very long-term five-wave structure at low. Ultimately, we will then likely head into a very, very long-term corrective structure. Now, how do I know where we're going to come back to the structure? Well, I will tell you this. Let me give you a quick example. In 2011, I called in one of the first public calls that I made a market call for a top in gold. And if you remember at the time during that summer, gold was going parabolic. There were days you were seeing 50 plus dollar rallies in gold per day. And as we were rallying through the summer, the only arguments that people were having at the time was, how high is gold going to go beyond 2000? 2000 was a foregone conclusion for those that remember trading gold at the time. 2000 was a foregone conclusion. The question is, how far beyond 2000 are we going to go? At the time, I put out an article which suggested 1915 or 1916 as I believe was going to be the top to the market. And when I put that article out, clearly it was not received very well. Nobody knew who I was. It was not received very well. People thought I was just a nut job. And nobody believed that gold was going to top anytime below 1,000. People asked me in the comment section, well, how far down do I believe it's going to go down once we top? I said, well, the downside target opens up to about 700 to 1,000. And people thought I was absolutely nuts when I thought that gold was going to top. They thought I was just completely from another planet when I was calling to go back down to 1,000 from 1900. Well, the reason I came up with that target was based upon the larger degree Elliott restructure time. And I utilize that same methodology with coming up with the same target that I'm coming up with in the SPX. Oddly enough, the ideal target for the S&P 500 is around 1,000 in this long-term correction. How do I come up with that? Well, normally a fourth wave will often target the fourth wave of one lesser degree. And if you remember, I just showed you that the fourth wave that we saw between 2000 to 2009 bottomed at 666. So why don't I use that as my target? Well, when you see sizable extension in a fifth wave, it often usually means that the market will come back to not the fourth wave of one lesser degree, but oftentimes it'll come back to the second wave retracement within that last fifth wave extension. The second wave retracement and that final fifth wave extension is the 1,000. So therefore, I've come up with the 1,000 region. I mean, if I should say 6666, 666 again, people will probably think I'm from hell. But in truth, it will lead to a lot of pain, and it will not be one spells not like you saw in 1929 to 1931. This will likely take a very long time. Again, my expectation is minimally 13 years. I think this could take as many as 21 years. But if you could look at the chart and take a look at the process through which I'm expecting this, it'll be in three-wave structures. If you remember what we said, waves two and four take shape as three-wave structures. So my expectation is not only will you have opportunities during this time to raise cash, you could, for those that don't want a short, for those that do want a short, you'll have tremendous shorting opportunities during this type of, but for those that don't want a short, you can raise cash as we're reaching targets. You could buy back in as we get to the next lower target. And then as you can see, you will likely have year to 2 year, sometimes even multi-year rallies that are coming out of this structure. Of course, you're going to have certain crash events. But overall, this is how I am seeing the general pattern playing out over the coming years, based upon what Elliott has taught us. And, you know, based upon market history and learning from market history, if you think that this is completely out of left field, I am telling you, the times where I get into trouble is when I don't believe what the chart is. And this is what the chart is telling me. Now, there are many fundamental factors that I'm sure will come into play at the time. We're seeing a lot of the things setting up right now. For example, I think we're going to have a massive banking crisis. Before SVB and Signature went out, we were already preparing our clients for that well over a year before that, because we saw that coming. And that was only the tip of the iceberg. So there's going to be a lot of pain that's coming. So I'm going to end my presentation at this point. And just, this is something that one of our longtime members had once noted many, many moons ago. The goal of Elliott Wave Analysis is to analyze sentiment, not to participate. So you can rise above it to be able to do what you need to do to either protect your portfolio and your family's nest egg, or to be able to identify where you can put money back into the market to increase that. That's really what we do. So I'm going to conclude this, and I'm going to see if there are questions. Looks like there are. Let's Green Cow is your primary, and then down to 4,300. Okay, 1,000 SPX would point to a very deep recession. I'll tell you, I if we get the fullness of that larger degree wave four, I don't call that a recession. I call that the Greater Depression. Remember, the Great Depression only lasted a handful of years. And that was because the 29 crash only lasted 2 years. So the fallout from that 29 crash, and then the market just continued right after that, started moving higher again. The fallout did not have a lot of time to stew. We saw some tremendous growth coming out of that not long after that. Of course, World War II and so on and so forth, but we saw tremendous growth coming out of that. In the case that we're seeing now, based upon the theory of alternation, I'm actually considering to call the next, that larger degree wave four, the Greater Depression, not a recession. I think you're probably dealing with the Greater Depression. And that is why I think it is of utmost importance to learn your market history. What happened during the Great Depression? What didn't happen during the Great Depression? And that is how you can potentially prepare for what I think is potentially coming down the road. Sorry about that. Let me see. How can you make money? As I said, there are plenty of times to make money. You can raise cash, buy in on the first pull, on the first larger pullback, and then you can invest for a couple of years, and then you raise cash again when you get to the target. And if you want to, you can short the market. The shorts are going to be exceptional. You're going to have multiple shorts like 2008. I don't have a time frame on when I would expect us to be able to get to 5,500. I don't have a time frame. Like I said, I've done a significant amount of study and learning of different analysis methodologies, and I have yet to find a methodology that can give me timing that is greater than 50. In other words, it's a toss-up. So I will go by general guesstimations of timing. So if we're indeed going to go over 5,000, I in a real way to complete that fifth wave higher high, My guesstimation is over the next 2 years or maybe three, somewhere around. Which type of investments do I see the so-called smart money moving? The problem with smart money, folks, is that smart money only looks like smart money when it's going with the trend. There really is no such thing as smart money in my mind. I'm sorry. Are there certain people that are there certain aspects of the market that will understand that markets will ultimately move towards the mean? Yes. And that is usually what most people view smart money. In other words, when a market gets extended, you have quote unquote smart money expecting, oh, it just can't extend any further. So let's raise cash because the market will move back. I don't think smart money is going to be appropriately called that during a very long term. I just don't. The sentiment drive SPX and metals in the same way, generally. Other than MACD and RSI, do you use any other indicators in your technical analysis? MACD is my favorite. I'll use RSI. I'll look at stochastics. The Fibonacci pinball is a really big thing for me. Generally, I don't like to overcomplicate it. I've learned from Occam's razor, the simplest answer usually is the right answer. So I try to simplify my analysis. Really, I don't try to overcomplicate. You're estimating 2 to 3 years until you see wavefront, even though the chart you're having here 6 months out. Again, you may assume that the chart's showing 6 months out. I don't think that's the case. I'm assuming that if, and we're not going to know about this on, for another few more weeks or a couple of months, if the market indeed is going to take us up to 5,000 plus, then yeah, it'll probably take several years because you have to figure it's going to take us probably into the end of this year or into early next to get us to 4,800. You're then going to have a multi-month correction back to 4,400, and then you probably got another year and change of rally up to 5,000. So that's my guesstimate. For impulses, how often do you see wave five fail to reach 17,642? Not often. Where you see it most often is on diagonal, and diagonals have a little bit of a different setup in their structure. For example, a third wave in a diagonal will usually only reach the 1236 to the 132 extension, and the fifth wave in the diagonal will often reach the 1618 and sometimes push to the 1764. If you so, that's generally the way I see it. Any other questions, ladies and gentlemen? Again, I don't see a lot left. I don't see a lot left from a relative standpoint, folks. Remember, we're dealing with a market that began in 1931. We are now approaching almost 100 years. We're approaching almost 100. And when and most people will say, look at things. Most people look at things very, very linear, very linear. And they assume, for whatever reason, the market's always going to go up because it always has. That's the problem. That is the problem with linear analysis. Markets are not linear. Markets are purely nonlinear environment. If you're attempting to apply a linear analysis into a nonlinear environment, you most likely will not be successful at the major change. And what we're seeing is ultimately a potential for a major change. So I really hope I didn't bore you during the first 15, 20 minutes of the of this presentation. I wanted to give you a perspective as to why we utilize Elliott Wave analysis rather than anything that is fundamentally or linear based. Fundamentals or linear is linear analysis. I don't know if you realize this. Fundamental analysis is linear analysis. So I want you to understand why we don't utilize linear analysis and where and when it can fail. And it often fails exactly when we don't need. And I showed you that in 2000. We saw the same thing in 2007. Ultimately, we may see the same thing. And people will say, the Fed's going to come to save us. I can show you many examples where the Fed has failed to save, no matter how much they tried. And you can even listen to Alan Greenspan, who, if you don't want to listen to me, who will tell you the Fed cannot stop a decline. It's only when the market has exhausted itself to the downside that the bottom will. Any other questions? I think we should be done then. Right on.